From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 11th day of November 2019. It's Veterans Day. Thank you to all of those who are and have served our country. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Mark Russo will be here to help us take a look at the weather forecast. Snowy today. We'll see what the rest of the week looks like. And we'll also talk about the agricultural cash grain markets with Greg Johnson of the Andersons. We'll take a look at the news for the day, too, right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, future prices finished lower. The nearby December corn down 4 cents at $3.73 1/4. The March at 382, 4 1/2 lower. And May down 4 3/4 at 388 3/4. July 395, 4 3/4 lower. And December contract of next year down 2 3/4 on its settlement at $3.98 1/4 a bushel in the corn. Soy complex now. November soybean futures 14 1/2 lower today. They finished at 905 for the afternoon. January at 9.17, down 14 in the March, down 13 1/2 today. Finished at 9.30 1/2. The May contract at 9.42 3/4. They finished down 12 3/4 cents. July futures 12 1/2 lower at 9.53 1/2. And next year's November, 10 1/4 lower at 9.57. Bean oil futures down 8 cents at $31.42. The bean meal down $4.30 at $300.60 a ton. December wheat futures down 4 1/2 cents at 5.05 3/4. July, the harvest month in the soft red at 5.19 3/4 for Chicago. Chicago down 4 1/4. The hard red Kansas City wheat finished the July contract at 4.43, down 2 1/2 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, $119.87 1/2, up 62 1/2. February at 125.67 1/2, 65 cents higher. Feeder cattle on the afternoon finished the November at 147. And 57 1/2 cents, up 57 1/2 in January at 147, 12 1/2, $1.25 higher. Lean hogs, December contract at $63.30, down 82 1/2 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 28 points lower. The U.S. dollar is down 0.186, and the gold futures for the day, $6 lower at $1,455.30. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here on this special holiday for all the veterans out there that served our country.
We appreciate you taking the time today and especially appreciate the veterans as well. It was a bad day in Chicago as it relates to the price of soybeans. Is this a follow-up to the USDA report on Friday or something else?
Well, I think it's something else in a combination to the follow-through weekend news that I guess Trump has stated he's not agreed to any rollbacks in tariffs. Also, too, we're seeing a situation where Hong Kong, those protests are getting more and more violent. Then there's some talk about national security being involved in some of these agreements. I don't quite understand or know the details on that. So I think that's kind of the fundamental twist, along with favorable weather in the southern hemisphere. The planting progress is moving quite along, quite well. It's still behind last year, but last year they were kind of early. Then lastly, the technical picture. I think we're seeing some technical concerns in the soybean complex, commodity funds, where sellers of about 7,000 contracts of beans going into midday. But if you look at the bean chart, it's got kind of a sloppy, mixed shape, head and shoulders top formation, and we just kind of fail to hold the support areas in the soybeans, and therefore we've just kind of collapsed on itself in through here. The key is probably January beans, 9-12. That's a 50% retracement. That's halfway back down to the lows we made back here. In September, if that fails to hold the downside head and shoulders objective for January beans is 890. So technically the bean market's in a little bit of trouble. Hopefully the full moon here will turn things around.
The corn followed the beans down. There's an awful lot of snow around, at least at this point. It looks like it's going to stick this time for a while, at least. And then if things get warmer as expected, it'll be sloppy again next week for producers to try to get back in the field.
Yeah, the key probably more so is the beans. It's the seriousness of trying to get the beans out. Relief getting the beans out has been the main focus, but quite a bit of the corn out, you know, that's going to be a challenge too. Tuesday afternoon's harvest progress report expected to show soybean harvest 85% complete. Corn harvest is a nation 65% complete. I know here locally most of the beans are out and probably two-thirds of the corn is out. It just varies highly from area to area. But the big surprise on the corn, though, is we continue to see strong basis levels. Last week, Decatur was about 10 over with some drying incentives. Starting out the week here, they pushed as much as 20 over, still having some drying incentives, trying to shake some corn loose here for some near-term demand. So, yes, the trade is a little bit in agreement with last Friday's numbers. There's no urgency on the changing the numbers a whole lot. But when you look at the fundamentals with the weather and the pop-up demand in through here, it's kind of concerning the corn's kind of doing what it's doing. The only thing here going home Monday afternoon is oats are up 8 cents. So maybe oats knows.
It could know. However, I'm wondering about the ground piles because they're not really springing up. I suppose that could be part of oats knowing, or at least they don't look as big as they have in previous years. Have you heard much from the elevator systems?
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth here. I was out and about yesterday afternoon and evening, and I know locally here we usually have a big pile just west of town, and there is no corn on the ground at all. And, you know, the fields are disappearing in through here. And visiting with some other producers around, they're noticing the same thing. There are a few piles, but not as large. There are some piles, but it's wet corn waiting to be pushed through the dryer. Then, too, if there is a pile, it's more of a soybean pile that's been covered and preserved for some future movement. So that is a thing to consider here as we move forward. The grain guys are getting kind of itchy in through here on edge, knowing the harvest is going to wrap up, and they're not full.
Well, do you think USDA will have to take that into account in a future final number for the size of the crop this year?
Oh, we've got a long road in front of us in through here, adjusting, updating numbers. Probably the thing to look forward to more than anything to get a handle on where we are is the quarterly grain stocks report. And we'll probably have to wait till the March number there to get an idea of where we are. Then, too, typically when you put wet corn or store wet corn or you have a wet corn yield, the June report usually catches the trade by surprise because when you put it in and take it out, it's two different stories.
Hey, anything else on the livestock for the day before I let you go?
Well, that's the thing is the pork concern. We've not had a whole lot of pent up demand for sale on sales to pork to China. I believe we're still looking at a situation from the great pork robbery of 2013 that China secured Smithfield for this reason to have pork directly into their country as food security, and that's probably going to keep ramping up as time goes on. But the summer hogs, if you look at a June hog chart, June hogs are basically $30 premium to the December. We're carving out a head and shoulders top formation in the hogs, so we might have priced in a lot of pork news into the market already if this head and shoulders formation takes place.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good. Take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the National Security Advisor to President Donald J. Trump may have laid out a new stumbling block for trade negotiations with China. On yesterday's Face the Nation, host Margaret Brennan from CBS asked Robert O'Brien, who just returned from the ASEAN trade conference, if December was a hard date for getting a trade deal with China. And then he went on.
We want great relations with China, but this is the first president that stood up to China that has been, you know, stealing American intellectual property, not allowing American companies to have access to Chinese markets, engaging in unfair trade practices. That has to come to an end because the Chinese have been using that to fill to fund one of the most massive military buildups in history. And you know, that has to come to a stop.
O'Brien has been raising concerns about militarization of the South China Sea. Mr. Trump's security advisor, when asked by the Face the Nation host, would not separate the issue from the current trade negotiations, but rather opted to outline the trade route issue.
This nine-dash line or cow's tongue that the Chinese have drawn around the entire South China Sea, which is a major swath of the Pacific Ocean, and claimed it as internal waters as if it was Lake Tahoe or something, that just can't stand. The United States Navy won't put up with it. The countries in the region won't put up with it. And all of those countries, were, with very few exceptions, were grateful because that America is standing up for them, standing up for their resource patrimony. That's the future for their kids and their grandkids, or the oil and gas and the fisheries and the minerals off their shores. China shouldn't be allowed to take it just because they're bigger.
For his part, last Friday, President Trump threw cold water on increasing hopes over a trade deal with China. China wants the U.S. to roll back current tariffs, but the president is still holding the line.
Well, they'd like to have a rollback. I haven't agreed to anything. China would like to get somewhat of a rollback, not a complete rollback, because they know I won't do it. But we're getting along very well with China. They want to make a deal. Frankly, they want to make a deal a lot more than I do.
It is the same line President Donald Trump has been using since first imposing tariffs on China. On a different trade deal, it looks like the USMCA may be getting done sooner rather than later. That's the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. The chairman of the House Committee on Agriculture, Colin Peterson of Minnesota, said on the DC Signal to Noise podcast Friday afternoon,
it's going to get done. The question of, is it going to get done in those 2 weeks or is it going to get done in December? I think it's going to get done before the end of the year, barring some other thing that comes along and blows it up, you know, outside of USMCA.
Peterson says Democrats have been working with Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer to include some changes that they would like to have, and that those have been going well. He also says the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is behind the push to pass USMCA.
The Speaker is pushing this. She wants it done. In the conference call that they had on Monday night, or whenever, Tuesday night, whenever it was, I was not on it, but she was pushing and explaining the USMCA on that conference call. And she wouldn't be doing that if she didn't want to get this done. So this is going to get done.
Colin Peterson is the chair of the House Committee on Agriculture. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's turn our attention now on this Monday to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here from WristPulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Kind of a slippery day. Snow across, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. Where are we getting some of the white stuff today?
Yeah, actually, a pretty large strip of snow extending anywhere from Kansas and southern Nebraska all the way through the Great Lakes. Some of the highest totals with the snow will be here in the Midwest. In fact, we've already seen that in portions of Illinois, Indiana, with totals of about 3 to 4 inches. And when all is said and done, a few areas near the Great Lakes snow belt will pick up above 6 inches due to a lake effect snow. So obviously a very, very, very wintry day here across the Midwest, not only from a snow standpoint, for temperatures. Temperatures are in the process of just crashing here across the belt. And even in northern Illinois, we've already dropped into the low 20s, kind of more of a January day than a November day. And next few days are bitter cold.
Yeah, so that's not what producers want to hear, because if the snow comes, they'd like to at least get it off of the soybeans, certainly, and off of the ear of the corn, even if they don't get everything melted away. But sounds like we'll have really cold temperatures. How cold? And then do we warm up at any point?
Well, I guess first things first, from a cold temperature standpoint, the next few days, it is record cold. There will be single-digit lows in the northern Midwest, even a few isolated areas below zero, teens elsewhere, daytime highs only in the 20s and then 30s. After we get past Wednesday, that's when the more significant moderation will take place. So this cold, albeit extreme, is short-lived. Temperatures will be returning to more seasonal levels coming up this upcoming weekend. And actually next week, readings look to register even slightly warmer than normal across the belt. That combined with a generally drier pattern following today's snow should help to improve at least what harvesting still needs to be accomplished.
What do you see in other parts of the world, whether that be in the Northern Hemisphere or South America?
in the U.S., still watching some of this dryness in the southern plains, hard red winter wheat belt. That's an area to watch here going forward. And elsewhere, South America, both in Argentina and Brazil, no major issues at this time. Over the next few weeks, rainfall looks to register near normal, and so that'll continue to gradually improve soil moisture across much of South America. So no significant issues expected there. A few areas we're watching elsewhere, dryness in the Black Sea region bears watching for some increasing concern for winter crop emergence and establishment due to the long duration of this drier pattern. And then also there's been recent dryness in the palm areas of Indonesia, Malaysia, which also looks to extend for at least another couple of weeks.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. You know, farmers and landowners alike are wanting to try more conservation practices. Now, some conservation practices cost money to put into place and maintain, terraces, for instance. Others are related to nutrient management, like the timing and the amount of nitrogen to apply. Well, the University of Illinois has added three conservation addendums to its online farm leases section that Gary Schnitke says farmers can use to help define how to pay for the cost of these practices and to legally bind them into the contract.
In certain cases, depending on what the landowner wants, some practices might cost the farming operations some money, and you would expect that to be reflected in cash rent levels, for instance, because all of these conservation addendums, and there are three of them, are attachable to the leases themselves. So they're if we want to have an addendum to the lease, those exist on the FarmDoc website.
The address for the site is farmdoc.illinois.edu. Look under the Sections tab for agricultural law. The leases and addendums are the first thing on that page.
There are three of these, and again, they are on in the agricultural law section of FarmDoc, and they are addendums to the leases. One is a conservation habitat addendum, and that again can be applied to either their share rent or cash rent leases, and then that would specify such things as cover crops that would be used or any structures that have to be maintained on that property. Nutrient management addendum would primarily relate to nitrogen applications, but P and K as well, and some of the other things that may go along with that. And then there's a soil health and conservation addendum, which would, again, could include cover crops, but also would include tillage practices.
Again, the three farm lease addendums can be found in the agricultural law section of the FarmDoc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. Well, on this Monday, we're joined by Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County to take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market. Let's start with how far along producers are as we get into a little snow for the day.
We've had a good week here in Champaign County last week. We think we're probably 90% done on corn, 99% done on soybeans. As you go farther north, though, the percentage progress is much less. It's a lot wetter corn. It got planted later. Farmers have been trying to wait for it to dry down, and it just simply isn't drying down as fast as what they like. So harvest progress isn't as far along to the north, but right around here, 90% done on corn and almost done on beans.
You have an estimate of what you think they've got done in the north?
Yeah. I
tell me about propane and trying to dry this down.
Yeah, I think we're probably only 70% done statewide. And so, you know, you can see to the north, they're probably just over half done, if that. And propane is a big issue. Northern Illinois, Iowa, the Dakotas, Minnesota, all are expressing the same issues that propane availability is hard to get. Some farmers are being told that not to expect anything this week or next week, and that could push harvest into December. And in some places, they are afraid it might even get pushed into January.
So I have been watching over the last week as producers have been hauling this wetter corn in, even to the elevator. The grain system has had some difficulties with it, shutting down early on days. How much has harvest actually slowed down?
We've probably seen it slow down by about a quarter to a third. Some places are closing at noon, so you only get a half a day in. Other places have been able to stay open all day. But in general, I would say we've probably reduced the harvest pace by about 25 to 30% over what it could have been if we could have stayed open from 7 to 7 type hours.
What does demand look like for corn?
Demand seems very lackluster at this point. Exports are not running ahead of pace. They're behind pace. I think the soybean exports are ahead of pace as traders are hoping that a trade deal gets done. So until we really see, and we've got a 1.9 billion carryout, so we really have to see demand pick up in order for the price to respond.
So that 1.9 billion bushel carryout, at least it's not a 2 in front of it, but still fairly large. Given that, basis has continued to improve for corn right in the middle of harvest. I suppose some of that is because of the lateness and the delay.
Yes. Indiana and Ohio, especially, corn did not get planted. There are a lot of prevented plant acres in those areas. Here in Illinois, some prevented plant, not as much. Yields are down 15% on corn, 20% on beans, but that's down from last year's record crop. So 15% off of a record yield still is a pretty good yield. And like I said, without demand picking up, that's still plenty of corn. Farmers are not selling, though, and that's why we're seeing the basis improve. There's plenty of storage space available, not as many piles around this year as we've seen in past years. So I think that strong basis in the eastern Corn Belt reflects the lack of acres that got planted. Basis isn't quite as good in the western Corn Belt, but in the east it's very strong.
I did make note that you do have a pile here at the Andersons.
We have about 1.2 million on the ground, 1.2 million on the ground, but last year we had almost 4 million bushels on the ground. So that's a pretty good indication that with the stronger basis, we're able to sell more trains and have just chosen not to pile as much corn.
You think the 167 from last week's USDA report is close?
At this point, I think it is. Now, if harvest gets delayed in the northern half, northern third of Illinois, we could see some yield loss, some harvest loss there, and so we could see yield come down. But as of today, I think that's probably a pretty good number. But again, we got to get that last 30% of the corn harvested up north.
Basis for both corn and soybeans have improved through the fall. How's that happened?
Soybean basis has improved 32 cents from a month ago, just 10 cents in this last week. The price is not where farmers want to sell. They think the yields are down, and rightly so. I believe that's the case, 20% lower than a year ago. So farmers are very tight holders of soybeans until they get to probably $9.50 cash price, and we're not there yet. So I think farmers continue to hold on to beans. I think they would sell corn if we get a rally to $4, but we're not there yet either. So basis levels continue to be strong, and farmers continue to be tight holders, especially of soybeans.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Joined us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.